czwarty dzień festiwalu Jazz nad Odrą, sobota, godzina 22.50. Zazwyczaj o tej porze chyba nie robi się wywiadów, robi się je wcześniej, ale po takim koncercie, jak słyszeliśmy przed chwilą, wywiad i porozmawiać z artystą naprawdę wypada. Przed chwilą Obed Calver ze swoją grupą zakończył koncert w Imparcie. Było to wydarzenie niesamowite i mam przyjemność z nim porozmawiać. Obed, welcome you so much. Thank you for finding time to talk to me.
Of course, thank you for asking.
I have to tell you, I think this was one of the warmest and most enthusiastic applauses I've heard throughout all week. I do believe it. I think it's very obvious because you took us on a comforting, on the one hand, but at the same time, fascinating journey through the story of your country and also with the context of Poland. Is it your first trip to Poland?
No, I've been to Poland at least 6-7 times.
Okay.
Probably more. I've traveled with many musicians for about 25 years now to Europe. So I've been, Poland's, you know, one of the hubs when we're on tour.
And how do you enjoy your stay in Wrocław right now?
Oh, it's amazing. Though it's warm. When I say warm, the reception of the people, it's very welcoming. And it brings you to a different space. It makes you appreciate what you do because of the energy that we get from the crowds. You know, you guys are connected, you guys are invested in what we have to present, and it makes for a special event.
It truly is, because you know, not many of us, I believe, know the stories, and especially not you tell about, and especially I think not many of us know the atmosphere that you can create. It's something different from us, but something very exciting. What made you, on this album, you tell a story about how basically your people, Haitian people, were sabotaged by the French oppressors some 200 years ago, and how they made you pay a sum of money that you mentioned in the title, 150 million francs. What made you tell this story on this album?
Well, you know, it's funny. I wasn't born in Haiti. I was born in Miami. My mom and dad are from Haiti. But there's always been this connection that I can never explain. And there was always a question, why is it that Haiti, poorest country in the Western Hemisphere? Why? This question always, why? So as I got older, you do some research and come to find out that because they were the first African republic to gain their independence. Now imagine there's a ton of events that happened because Haiti gained the independence. Now, if you know a little bit of history, Louisiana, all of that was owned by the French. So when they come to sell the slaves, that was all, it was like Haiti was a hub or a port, I should say, so that slaves can go to New Orleans, right? Now, when Haitians revolted, when they gained their independence, there's no longer that route for slaves. Now, what ends up happening? No more slaves coming through that route, which ends up the Louisiana Purchase happens, right? All of Mexico, California, all of that. There's a domino effect that happens with that cost the French a ton of money. Not just that, word spreads fast. There's an African republic that beat the French. The Spanish doesn't want to spread that rumor. The English doesn't want that to be spread, right? So when people, when you give other slaves from other regions the confidence that, man, if we actually come together, we can beat this, we can make a difference. So Haiti had to be, they had to be made, there was an example made of what they did, you know. So part of it was, you know, okay, now you have to pay us back for all the, you know, the infrastructure, whatever that they claim they built. They didn't build it. It was built off of slaves. They didn't pay for it. You know what I mean? So the 150 million gold francs, which equates to about $22 billion now, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money that Haitians can use for a lot.
You recounted that like $26 billion right now on
stage. Today's money.
Of today's money.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Especially coming from a poor country like Haiti. So I wrote that tune just to inform people on why Haiti is in the condition that it's in. It's not just because they're ignorant, they're just lazy, they're, you know, that's far from the truth, you know. If you have this debt that never ends, how can you grow your economy? And there's I don't want to get too deep into it, but there's so many other events that happened after, way after. I'm talking about like in 1990s with the Clinton administration.
And even around 2010, I believe there was an insane tsunami or
earthquake.
Or earthquake.
That's a disaster. That's a natural disaster that no one could.
And yet it still happened. You know? It still happened.
But there are things that we could control as human beings that still Haiti had to deal with that. It's not humane. So I thought it was extremely important to educate people and hopefully make a difference, you know, by the music, you know, and make help people come to some type of epiphany that, you know what, maybe we should help this country. Maybe we should, you know, look out for them. Maybe we should send them pencils, notebooks, teachers, something simple as that.
You know, it's an insane thing to say. That or an insane thing for me to think that something as basic can as, be
yes appreciate
is necessary is vital
it's
for you.
It's extremely vital because you now you have these schools that don't have supplies, so kids are going to school and they can't. What are they writing with?
So could you tell me how does a life of a typical Haitian man look like right now? What is the situation right now in your country?
Very 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 bad.
Okay. Like, are we talking no electricity?
No, not that extreme, but certain places, yes. Here's another issue Haiti has. Haiti is still divided in the sense where people who have a shitload of money live well, like everywhere else. But the gap is wider in Haiti. If you don't have anything, you don't have anything.
And when you have everything.
When you have everything, you have electricity 24 hours a day. You have an infrastructure that won't move. You know what I mean? As opposed to people making, like a house out of not even sheetrock, but leaves, stuff. I mean, I'm talking about going back to caveman days. Like, shit is bad. Mm-hmm. You know, no plumbing. If you want to take a dump, go outside, dig up a hole, bend, do what you have to do, and then bury it. Cover it up. It's here's the other thing too. Now Haiti has an issue that they're dealing with gangs and corruption. And for example, 2 months ago, an airline tried to land and the gang shot at the plane, so they won't land. So they're preventing people from landing to continue the corruption. It's insane, man. Don't take my word for it. Go online and go on YouTube. Type in Haiti's conditions, and you see. Fights, you see people burning tires, you see people burning buildings, you see people burning people, you know, not on YouTube, but there are other sites, exposes a pile of shit that's not cool.
I actually do feel ashamed for being so ill-informed, even though it's not the other side of the world, it's still an insane thing to hear.
Don't feel bad, because people in the U.S. don't know. A lot of people in the States don't know the condition that Haiti's in. And the ones who do, some people are trying to make a difference, but it's difficult when you can't get tools. Like, for example, I sent a friend of mine, his sister owns has a foundation that they supply clothes, food, school supplies. Mm-hmm. And I sent some notebooks and pencils, and they could not get into the country. So what do you do? Like, how do you help? Mm-hmm. You know, it gets a lot deeper than that, because that country is in turmoil because people want it to be in turmoil, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, because for them it's convenient.
It's convenient.
In all of that, you've painted a dramatic picture. You've painted a picture that's been happening for various reasons for a couple of hundred years. And yet, in the track Haiti's Journey, even though it's dramatic, I still do hear hope. Where do you take that hope from?
It's a spiritual thing that you feel, right? It's not tangible. How do you explain the love that you have for your mother? You can't explain. It's not tangible. Something that you just have. And there's this gut feeling that I have that at some point things will change. Because first of all, it can't get any worse. Right? It can't get any worse. And the more these various setbacks are brought to light, I think, and it's not just Americans, it's not just Haitian people, I think the world will come together and say, you know what, it's not going to take much to help this small little country. It's not. Roads, hospitals, schools. And then here's where I have hope. There are so many Haitians in high places that have, like, and I'm not talking about Haitians I'm talking about like first, second generation Haitians mm-hmm. who have made a life in France, who have made a life in the States, who have, like, I'm a first generation Haitian, right? I wasn't born there. But there are so many of us who are extremely educated, but still feel connected to our country. So just imagine if 10 contractors from here, 10 engineers from here, 10 architects from here, 100 school teachers say, you know what, guys, we're going to spend a year. We're going to invest a year of our time and go back to Haiti and help build the country. That's the only way it's going to happen.
From what I hear in your voice, there is this sense of enormous pride that you are a Haitian, even though in the first generation.
Of course. Why not? Why not?
Not in this way that it's surprising. It's just from what you said, this message, it seems like it is doable. It is possible.
It is. Because we're intelligent people and we're good-hearted people, you know?
You do feel like it.
Despite what our country's been through, despite everything, there's always the yin and the yang. There's always bad that comes along with the good. There's always good that comes. But the overall picture of our being and our energy, man, if you ever gone to Haiti, man, these people have nothing, but they will give you everything they have. They don't have much, nothing, right? Oh, no, you want some of this food? Not even enough to, and they give it to you. I'm like, no. And they have this amount of joy in them. Like, I don't have nothing, but I woke up today. I get to go to the water and swim. I get to, like, they're more in tune with nature. All they need is nature, you know? So if once you feel that, you're like, man, something's going to change, you know, because it has to. Because we appreciate nothing. Imagine someone who appreciates nothing but has everything. You know, when you appreciate nothing, you have everything, because nothing is going to set you back, because you don't need tangible, you don't need materialistic things. All you need is your limbs, your joy, your love that you have for your family and friends. That's all that's important.
I will think about what you said for a long time, because in our culture, or from where I grow, it's not like you don't appreciate these things. I believe the values that you have mentioned are universal everywhere, but sometimes you do can forget when you have it too good.
Easy to.
I hear all of that in your music, and I do appreciate the message that you have put out here. So, thank you for your conversation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.